Certainly is good to see everyone this morning. It's good to be with you. We invite you back tonight at 5:30 as we have started a study on being centered, having our lives centered, and I hope that you can be a part of that this evening. The past 3 weeks, we have spent time in our devotionals leading up to getting ready for today, as today is the day that the world celebrates the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in Easter. And we have spent some time getting ready for this moment, to think about, to center our minds around what took place in the last few days that Jesus was here. We looked at the betrayal, the Last Supper, the garden, the arrest, the trial, the death, and ultimately the resurrection of Jesus. And as you look, you could talk about those things and study those things for many more than obviously 3 weeks. A lot took place. A lot happened. A lot surrounding the single greatest event in human history. Jesus would give his life. Jesus would bear sin on the cross. Jesus would not be held by that grave. And because of that, we celebrate today. But you know, it's not just one day that we ought to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's every day. Every day should be a celebration of what Jesus did, of what he was willing to do, and what his resurrection means to us. Two things we look at when we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We look at the cross. The cross has come to be the symbol for all of Christianity. The cross is our calling card. It's our symbol that means we believe in Jesus. The cross means so much. It was the thing that Jesus carried. He had to carry that cross to the place where he would be nailed to it. That same cross would be placed in the ground. Jesus himself would be placed between two common thieves, two common criminals. Our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, would be placed between two thieves and executed like a criminal. As he hung on that cross, as the blood would trickle down that cross from being nailed to it from the crown of thorns, as he hung there, it wasn't enough. The crowd that was gathered there ridiculed him. They laughed at him. They joked about what he said he could do. They continued to pile on, even as Jesus was dying. The two thieves, both themselves, at some point during this time, ridiculed Jesus as well. But during the process, one of the thieves learned some lessons, changed his mind, begged the Lord to save him. The Romans could have cared less. This was just something that they had to do. It was part of their job. They gambled over his clothes. This was just another Jew that was being executed. It meant nothing to them until Jesus died, and then one of the soldiers said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." As Jesus hung on that tree, he did not say very much, but what he did say was very impactful. "It is finished. Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Jesus was willing to die on that cross. The cross means so much. But you know what? As we think about the cross, we also think about the empty tomb. Joseph, a devout man who did not buy into all the things that people were saying, went and got the body of Jesus and laid it in his tomb. Large stones rolled at the front of that tomb. The Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders were so concerned that Jesus would not be in that tomb when he said he would rise, that he wanted guards. They wanted guards placed at the front of that tomb. And those guards were placed there to guard the tomb. for fear that the disciples might come and take him. And think about the seriousness and kind of the silliness of that theory. Here you've got Roman trained guards standing watch in front of a tomb. And the chief priests and elders are worried that some fishermen are going to come and overthrow these trained guards. Those guards stood watch. But those guards could not prevent what would take place. That stone was rolled away. That stone was moved. And as they came to see the tomb, they didn't find Jesus inside. What they found were some angels. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is not there. The tomb was empty. As people marveled at what took place, we studied on the road to Emmaus as two people talked about all that had happened. Jesus died, now they can't find him. What does all this mean? And Jesus appears to them, talks to them, teaches them. Their heart burns within inside them as Jesus teaches them from Scripture about himself. He's alive. He reveals himself to them. The disciples didn't know what to think. Jesus is dead. They're all scattered. And when they hear reports that the tomb is empty, Peter and John run to that tomb to just see if Jesus is there. Didn't he tell them? Didn't he tell them he would raise himself on the third day? Didn't he tell them, I'm going to destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Yet they still didn't quite understand. And they left that tomb amazed and fearful and in wonder of the Messiah. He appears to them again. Not everyone's there. Thomas is not there. Thomas is like, I'm not going to believe this. I'm not going to believe that Jesus came back from the dead. No, he's going to have to show himself to me, and I got to feel it. I got to put my hands into the scars. I've got to touch him. His faith was based on what he could see and what he could feel. Jesus appears again and proves out that it is him. He is alive. Two things, the cross and the empty tomb. The cross has become the symbol, but the cross is not important if there is no empty tomb. If there is no empty tomb, Jesus was just a man who was willing to die. He was willing to die for his cause. If there is no empty tomb, then all that we believe, all that we've come to know, and more importantly, the forgiveness of our sins, is not true. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he talks about the resurrection of the dead. And in verse 12, he says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If the resurrection did not happen. See, the chief priests and elders were scratching their heads. Jesus is gone. He did rebuild the temple in 3 days. He's not there. What do we do? So they went and they gave those soldiers money and said, tell people the disciples overpowered you. Tell people that they took him. That story carried on from there. But I want you to think of the ridiculousness of a Roman soldier walking the streets having to say that a fisherman overpowered me and kept me from doing my job. That's what that Roman soldier had to be willing to say. I'm not strong enough. I'm not powerful enough to do what I was trained to do. The tomb is empty. And because of that, our faith is strong. Our faith is sure. Our belief is in Christ. He lives. As we assemble today, we do so knowing that He lives. The cross has no power if Christ is not alive. The cross is without power. But because He lives, the cross has power. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we think about His body, as we think about the blood, we think about the power that it has in our lives. It has the power to cleanse. It has the power to remove. It has the power to wash away. Notice what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 17 at the end, you are still in your sins. Without His life, our sins are not gone. Because He lives, His blood has power. His blood washes away our sins. A few weeks ago, we went to CYC, and one of the speakers there named Lonnie Jones told a story. He told a story of his daughter losing her hamster. And as she was young and as she didn't understand, he was trying to explain to her, everything that lives dies. But why? Why did my hamster have to die? Because everything that lives dies. She thought about that for a moment and she said, well, Daddy, is Mama going to die? And he says, everything that lives dies. What about you, Daddy? Are you going to die? Honey, everything that lives dies. And eventually she put two and two together, right? Daddy, am I going to die? And he said, everything that lives dies. We know this to be true. From the moment we're born, the clock has started. Everything that lives dies. But in the same result, everyone that dies lives. Everyone that dies lives. Because He lives, everyone that dies has a chance to live. Has a chance to live eternally. Has a chance to be with God in heaven. Everyone that dies lives because He lives. As we think about what it means, we think because He lives, John 3:16 is true. God did love us enough to send His only begotten Son to save us. Send His Son to die for us. To send His Son to make us whole. The love of God has been extended to us because He lives. Because He lives, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Because He lives, it doesn't matter what happens in life, I can have the strength to overcome. Because He lives, I have the power to live for Him regardless what the devil throws at me. I can live because He lives. And I have the strength to overcome because He lives. Because He lives, I can repent. I can change. I can do things differently. I don't have to be lost in sin. I don't have to be weighed down by what the devil places on my shoulders. I can overcome. I can repent. I can be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins and have those sins washed away, just like the people in Acts chapter 2. When they said, what are we going to do? We killed the Messiah. We killed Jesus. What do we do? And Peter's response is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness and remission of your sins. Because He lives. Because He lives, I can have forgiveness. I can have my sins taken away. And I can present myself in front of God just as if I had never sinned at all. Because he lives. Because he lives, I can put him on. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I can put him on. I can be in Christ. I can be his. And when I'm his, Romans 8 chapter 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because he lives, I can put him on. Because he lives, there's no condemnation. Verse 2 of Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Though the world may condemn, though the world may look down, though others may frown upon what someone believes in, there's no condemnation. I'm free. Because he lives, I'm free. I'm free to live as a Christian. I'm free to be who I want to be. I'm free to look to my eternal home. And I'm free from the law of sin and death. That's why he went to the cross. Because he lives, I have freedom. For so many people, when they think about Christianity, when they think about religion, they think about shackles. They think about being weighed down. They think about laws and rules. But it's actually the opposite. Because he lives, I am free. Because he lives, I'm independent. Because he lives, I don't fear life. Because he lives, I don't fear death. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. For this we declare to you by word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Because he lives, there's nothing to fear. We don't fear life because we have his power. We don't fear what's happening here because we know who's got the future in their hands. We know who's setting the course for us. We know the direction. We don't fear life because he lives. He takes away our sin. He's prepared a mansion for us. So we wait. We don't fear. We wait. Because he lives, we don't fear death. We don't fear the end because death is not the end. Death is only the beginning. We don't fear because we know where we're headed. Because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we have eternal life. The cross is a symbol. The cross points to what Jesus was willing to do. The cross points to what Jesus experienced and what his death signifies for us. The cross points to all those things. But all of those things would be in vain if there wasn't an empty tomb. The empty tomb completes the cross. Because he lives, I live. Everyone that lives dies. And everyone that dies lives. The question for us is, who will we live with? Because he lives, we can live with him. As we've studied through these things these past 3 weeks, It's the story of Jesus. It's the message of Jesus. It's what he came to do. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to think very hard about the love that God extended, that he shows us. What God was willing to do to prove just how much he loves us and how much he wants to be with us. He gave his son. Jesus did die, and he is alive today. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to believe that message. Repent of your sins, confess that he is the Son of God. Be buried with him in baptism. And having the power of that cross, the power of the shedding of his blood, take away your sins. Make you clean and make you whole. Causing you to live. Maybe here this morning and the world has gotten you sidetracked. It's taken your focus away from what we should be doing, what we should be thinking about, which is our future, our home in heaven. Because he lives today, he can put us right and have us ready to come and live with him. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand in front?
Come to Jesus.